The Apostle Paul uses a number of sports analogies to compare our approach to the spiritual life to that of an athlete that competes in a particular sport. So here's what he wrote to the Corinthian church in his first letter. He wrote, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Now, a little bit of background. Corinth is in the larger territory that's known as Greece. And what competition is famous for having its roots in Greece? The Olympics, right? Every how many years? 4 years, except for that one time in 1990s, right? Didn't they do it like after 2 years? But every 4 years, the Greeks would hold the Olympic Games in the city of Olympia, Greece, which our current modern Olympic Games are patterned after. Now, what you may not know is that the Greeks also held what was called the Isthmian Games, which was very similar to the Olympics, but it was actually held the year before and the year after the Olympics, and it was held in a city right next to the city of Corinth, which is the same city that Paul wrote his letters to. What's interesting is that New Testament historians believe that Paul might have actually been present at several of the Isthmian Games that were known to have taken place during his stay in the city of Corinth, when he was planting the church there, when he was visiting there several times after that, and that as a tent builder, which was Paul's profession other than being an apostle in the early church, that he might have actually built the many tents that were known to have been constructed for the visitors and contestants who would be needing these temporary accommodations during the times that the games took place. What this means is that the Corinthians would have been very familiar with athletics at a high level. And at these ancient games, contestants wouldn't win like gold medals or bronze or silver medals. They would win an olive wreath that was made of olive leaves that would be put on their heads as a crown of victory. Kind of like, these are examples I found on the internet of what the victor's crowns might have looked like from the Isthmian Games on the left and the Olympic Games on the right. So this gives us a little bit of context into what the Apostle Paul was saying when he said that we are not given a crown that will not last, but we're given a crown that will last forever. Right? He's referring to this idea that the crowns from the Olympics and Isthmian Games that the Corinthians were very well aware of, all of these crowns would eventually fade and wither away. But not so, Paul says, with the crown that we will receive from God. Now, what do you think would be necessary for an athlete to compete at the highest level? Not just in our day, but even in Paul's day. I mean, do you think that someone can compete at the Olympics by just showing up and trying really hard? What place do you think they would finish in if they just showed up and tried really hard? Last. I think that would be true no matter how athletic that person was, right? I think they would place last. The Apostle Paul says in this scripture passage that everyone who competes in the games, referring to the Isthmian or the Olympic Games, goes into strict training. Now, my son Andrew, he just finished his final year in competitive gymnastics earlier this year. He's been competing in gymnastics. Competing for how long, Andrew? 10 years? Oh, 11 years. Obviously, his level of competition is not Olympic level, and yet in order to compete at the level that he does, it required that he had to invest and train and dedicate himself to the sport. So 6 days a week, he'd go to the gym in order to train for about an average of 4 hours a day. So I asked him to give me a breakdown of what his daily training regimen looks like. And he said that they begin with this 30-minute warm-up. And in this initial 30 minutes, you do the following. Okay, so this is their warm-up. You'd run around the floor 10 times to kind of initially warm up. Then you do handstand walks across the floor 4 times. You then bridge walk across the floor. I forgot to ask you, I'm not even sure what that is. Backwards, huh? Okay, you bridge walk across the floor. You turn around and do push-up hops back across the floor. Then you proceed to the rings, where you do 20 ring dips, followed by 20 dips on the parallel bars. And then you go to the high bar, where you do 20 leg lifts, followed by 20 variations of pull-ups. Then you would practice handstands, handstand holds on the parallel bar for a while. And then after that, you would kind of rest your shoulders or rehab your shoulders with rehab bands. And you would then finish that off by stretching for about 10 minutes. Okay, so that's the first 30 minutes. Okay, so then you would move and spend the next 3 hours working on 3 of the events that men's gymnastics competes in. Right, there's 6 events. So you would work for an hour apiece on 3 of those events. I didn't ask him specifically what they do, but for an hour you would do that. And then for the last hour after you're done, you follow that up with conditioning, which involves curling and overhead presses and bench presses and more dips and more ab works. And then a final stretching exercise. So that final, probably about 4.5 hours later, you're done. Okay. His warm-up is my actual routine at home. So, you see, in order to compete at higher levels, you have to commit yourself to a regimen. And this is for strengthening, for endurance, for practice, which then allows your muscles to become familiar with the motions. In sports, they call that what? Muscle memory, right? The more that you continue to perform a certain action, the more that your muscles will become familiar with the motions and the better you will get at performing that action over time. It's kind of a misnomer if you think about it, because your muscles, they don't actually memorize anything, right? It's your brain, right? Your brain becomes familiar with the motion so that if you do that motion over and over again, it can become almost like second nature. What's interesting is when I Googled muscle memory, do you know what came up the most? I thought that this was kind of funny. Video gaming. There were websites and article upon article upon article of suggested techniques of going through finger exercises so that you get these techniques and practices down that make you really good at certain combinations of moves for certain video games so that you can start to perform them quickly without even having to think about it. And I thought that was kind of funny because 20 years ago, that wouldn't even have popped up. And in some ways, as I thought about it, it's kind of similar to typing, right? You practice typing, and the longer that you practice typing, the less you actually have to think about the individual letters. So that eventually when you're typing and you see a word, you just type the word. Your mind doesn't think of the letters any longer, right? It becomes part of your muscle memory. They say that riding a bike is actually like that as well. How many here ride bikes, like now? I was curious because I haven't ridden a bike in a while. But they say that it's like riding a bike because, you know, eventually you become familiar with all the things that you need to do in order not to crash, which I get, you know, it seems simple, but they said there's pedaling and steering and balancing that you have to get used to. And that even if you haven't ridden a bike in a long time, which, you know, they say you can get on a bike and you can actually ride it relatively easily because they say that these muscle memory that we retain goes into our long-term memories and we can still pull them out. So that's why that expression, it's like riding a bike, right? Once you have it, they said that it stays in your long-term memory. Now, I bring all of this up because the Apostle Paul draws parallels in this passage of scripture that we read between this kind of experience of muscle memory, where, you know, we just get used to certain motions or certain movements that it might be hard for us at first, but then it will get easier over time with practice and with training. He compares that experience to what it takes to live the life that God calls us to live. You see, I believe that Paul is saying that if you want to live the kind of life that God desires for us to live, then like an athlete, it's going to require a certain level of commitment, a certain level of determination and perseverance on your part. Things like forgiveness and patience and self-control and kindness and courage, they're not always easy for us to live out in our lives. But then might it be that these kinds of things can actually be built up? They can be improved in our lives through consistency and repetition and training, so that if we're intentional and if we're committed and consistent, that even like muscle memory, this kind of living might even become second nature over time. I mean, something that comes more easily and that we do more naturally because we've committed ourselves to them as a result of our training ourselves at a deeper level than just practicing them in our lives from time to time. Paul says we're to live out our spiritual lives with the same kind of attitude as that of an athlete that competes at the Olympic Games. And maybe for Christians around the world, our lack of success or progress in the arena of our faith is because we have to learn to shift our paradigm from thinking of the Christian life as something we try into something that we actually train ourselves to do. I mean, again, if you can imagine someone's invited to go and compete at the Olympics, but then they decide that they are not going to enter into the rigorous training program in order to prepare for it, and they just decide, well, I'll practice from time to time, and then I'll just show up and try really hard. It's not going to go well for them. And the Apostle Paul is making the same kind of observation with regards to the life that God calls us to lead and why people find it so difficult. Now, this isn't really an easy message to give because it kind of hits home for me at least. It's not easy for me to say, probably not easy for you to receive. But I do think it's a message we have to hear from time to time because there are plenty of scriptural evidence to support this idea that life in the kingdom of God that we are a part of, that it's not just about the things that we receive, you know, the goodness of God, the grace, the love of God. It's also about the things that we give toward the building up of God's kingdom. And it's not an easy life, right? It's the kind of life that you can only live with consistency and with success if you enter into it with some degree of seriousness and commitment. It's not the kind of life that you can lead by simply giving it a good try. So like an athlete competing at the highest level like we just did in paper football, right? We have to be willing to make a similar commitment to our calling. And I actually thought it was interesting. There are paper football leagues that are out there. And I wonder if those people practice that and how good they would be if we tried to like play against them. Anyways, that's just my short little brief message. Lord, thank you, Father, for our time to come out and just enjoy some activity together. But also to look at Paul's words. Because this was a hard saying in the sense that he was trying to help the Corinthians to see that the life that they've entered into is not just something they do on Sundays. It's not just something that they do with one another, but it's a life that's lived in training. Or he compares it to an athlete training, that we are to train ourselves in the ways in which you've called us to live. That's a challenging thought. And yet, I think there's plenty of evidence in Scripture, Lord, that it's the kind of way we're to approach our life, the kind of commitment and dedication and perseverance that it takes in order to live the kind of life you call us to live. So may we take that to heart and remember that, Lord, as we go from here. We pray for the food. We're thankful for it. Look forward now to a time of just fellowship and having fun playing some games. Thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.